Welcome back, everyone, to officially the 205th best fantasy sports podcast in Great Britain. Now, that is something I didn't think we'd be celebrating, but...
That's going right on my CV.
Yeah, so obviously, you might have missed us. Some of you actually have missed us. Some of you have DM'd saying, where's the podcast? Because we were meant to come back last week. What was the issue last week? There was a schedule clash, basically, wasn't there?
I'll be honest, because we don't lie to you.
We forgot. Yeah.
I think for some reason, I thought the race was going to be this week. I hadn't really paid much attention. Obviously, the summer break, I switched off. Football was coming back. Kind of got distracted with that.
Yeah.
And then I think we messaged on Tuesday going, I don't think we're going to have time to film tonight. And we didn't.
Yeah, it was... I'll tell you what. The racing crept up back on us out of nowhere. So it's good to be back. I wouldn't necessarily say it was the greatest first race back. But do you know what? I'm not going to take that race as a taste of what's to come. Because Zandvoort has typically been pretty poor, you know, since it started like in 2021.
It's usually been a Red Bull dominance, Max dominance. Obviously, yeah, Ricciardo broke his hand last year.
Yeah.
We saw the likes of Lawson coming in.
But from actual race perspective, it's never really put on a great race. Last year was probably the best of the bunch.
Because it rained, didn't it? Because it rained after the first lap or something.
It all got a little bit complicated with that. So you had all the tyre changes and then you had... you know, Mercedes pit George instead of Lewis, and it all got like a little bit beefy. It was, you know, it gave us something. That being said, I still thought it was an all right race. It was pretty mediocre. This year, wow, we'll dive into it, but hopefully, and like I say, I don't think it is a sign of things to come, but hopefully it is not a sign of things to come. But while we've got you here right at the very start, wherever you're listening to us, do give us 5 stars. It does make a big difference to the podcast. And hopefully we can climb that fantasy sports charts in Great Britain. Maybe one day we'll actually make it onto the sports charts. Who knows? You can also follow us on Instagram, TikTok and Twitter. Just search Racecast. You'll be able to easily identify us, I think. If you have any problems, DM myself or Matt on our Instagrams. And we'll help you out. We'll point you in the right direction. But yeah, I think it's time that we actually, I mean, we should probably cover what happened over the summer break.
Well, so before we got onto that, obviously the last time we did a podcast was before Spa.
Yeah.
Obviously, I went to Spa.
Yeah, you did.
Can I give some feedback on my experience? Obviously, the first, I'm going to give it anyway, so whether you say yes or
yeah,
no.
I mean, what do you mean like...
I'm not going
to criticize things, and
no,
because I'm not going to take it back to management.
No, I. Do you know what? I was pleasantly surprised. I actually had a really good time.
Why did you think you weren't?
No, what I was unsure about is because on this time we went for like the bronze package, which basically means it's general admission. So you sit wherever you can, wherever you find a spot, that's where you sit. You're not in the grandstands. Because what I didn't want to do is I didn't want to go to the grandstands, pay all this money, sit in the grandstand and be like, oh, actually, I'm just stuck here. Do you know what I mean?
And the grandstand is obviously on the pit straight.
Yep. Which... No, there's all ones all around. There's different grandstands all around.
Oh, is there?
Okay. So, you know, when you go up...
Eau Rouge,
there's a new grandstand there as well. Okay. So we wanted to do the general admission because I thought it'd be quite interesting to walk around. You can just sit, go around. Granted, on qualifying day and race day, I had to get up early. I was up at like 5 a.m. to go down and get a seat.
Wait. You have to go down at that time to get a seat.
So probably not on a Saturday. I would have been fine if I went down later. Race day, however, I went down at 6:15 and already the banks, because I sent you a photo of where we were along the main straight.
Yeah, were you just sitting on the grass?
Yeah.
Okay.
So obviously we wanted to get in front of the screen as well, so we have the best of... both, so you can see everything on the screen, because we've discussed before, for me watching the Grand Prix I quite like just seeing on the screen. You get everything there, you know, you're not just seeing cars go past every now and then. You have everything. So I was kind of like, I want to have a screen but still have the a good view, which we did. By the time I got down there at 6:15, it was already starting to fill up. The whole top straight bit was basically covered. Yeah.
Well, because what I'm guessing race start was what, 1 p.m. out there?
Is there 3 p.m. out there?
Oh, yeah, they're an hour ahead, of course. Yeah, yeah. Wow, that's incredibly early.
Yeah.
That sounds like the old pool towel on a sun lounger situation when you're on holiday.
It is like that a bit.
And like it's annoying because you have to kind of become the sad bastard that you have to partake in that activity.
Yeah.
Otherwise it's you who loses out. So you have to become one of the saddos that goes super early just to secure a seat, which you wouldn't have to do if everyone just turned up at a normal time.
I was one of those saddos. The good thing is about it, and what I really liked about the whole day, is obviously you've got F2, you've got F3, you've got the Porsche Super Cup you've got the old cars out there. So you saw some of the old like Benettons, the old Ferraris. Like it was cool. Like, you know, you had stuff going on throughout the day, which was actually quite nice.
I just want to go back to this like seating arrangement thing.
Yeah.
So you got there when?
So by the time I got down there on the race day, I got down there about 6:15.
And then what happens from then?
So the F3 race...
No.
Oh.
Well, because you're there at 6:15. And what time is the first event?
9. And that's the F3 race.
So what did you do in that period of time? That's what I'm more curious
sat
about.
Sat there, really. Sat there, had some food.
How did you get the food?
There was food. There was like loads of stalls behind us.
So did you go at this time with your dad?
No, my dad came down later. He was like, if you want to, I'll come down and meet you.
Did you just have to sit on your own?
Yeah.
How did you get up and get food? Were you like, they're my jackets, you can't sit on them?
Yeah, don't.
Would you put a jacket on the floor?
Well, your seats are there and your bag's there, so no one's touching it.
Yeah, but your seat's not there really, is it?
Oh, it is. My seat is there. No one's moving that seat.
But it is just on a piece of grass?
Yeah.
And you don't put anything down sort of?
No.
Hmm.
But the thing is, your seat is literally an eye line. I mean, where your vase is on the side is basically where the food is, where I'm sitting. So it's not like
it was that close.
That's where the food stall is, and this is where, for example, a line of
So what would you have done if you got up, got a burger, turned around, someone was sitting in your seat?
Drop kicked them.
Because there's not much you can say. They'd be like...
No, but I think it's not that type of event. Everyone is actually quite respectful, and everyone is actually quite like, you know, oh, move along, create space for you. Like it's quite a nice vibe, but that bit was weird, getting up early and all of that stuff. But I kind of liked it because it was actually for me. We've discussed before, our lives can be quite busy at times. You know, we're always on the go, we're always doing stuff, whatever. I actually quite liked just sitting there. You're outside, it's chilled. You've got stuff going on around you.
Was it warm?
On the Sunday was. I don't know if you can see. That's still my tan. Nice.
Did you burn?
No, I didn't burn, but I have obviously...
A tan line.
but, yeah, I really liked it. I thought it was actually quite nice. And I didn't... I was unsure whether I would do the bronze package again, but actually... I rated it.
How much money do you save on a bronze package? Do you remember? And how much was it? It was like 200 and something.
Yeah. So that was. I'm going to show you a photo. That was on that morning. That was on qualifying day. That's my view.
Yeah. So for those of you that are listening, which is every single one of you, imagine you've come up through Eau Rouge. You're heading down the straight. You're probably, I'd say, one third down the straight.
And then
that's one of the best views.
Yeah, I really liked the view.
For on track action, the best view is probably a little bit further up, but because you've got the screen there, it makes it better for the whole race.
You got the screen. The one thing I also loved, right, and I know we've spoken about this for a while, so was you look around and you've got fans from basically every team. However, I say every team, except Haas, and Williams.
Williams.
There was no Williams store. There was Haas store. Actually, there was one little Haas store in the corner when you went in the entrance. Why. I don't know. It's weird.
I bet they're not as popular now Gunther's gone. I bet merch sales have dipped.
Probably. You know, but it was really interesting. I saw, obviously, a lot of Papaya, a lot of Mercedes, Red Bull, Ferrari. And it was just great. Like, it was just a really nice environment. Like, it was just pleasant, if that makes sense. The one thing that did trigger me a bit is that, you know, like, nowadays you can go and buy something and you can just use your card, can't you? Go and use Apple Pay. No, not here. You had to buy it's kind of like a top-up card. You had to buy a card and you have to put money on it to then go and get food.
That's so annoying.
It triggered me. I was just like, what's the point of this?
It's probably so they have like, a lot of people won't spend every single penny on that card.
No, but they refund you back anyway.
Oh, so you get the money back.
Yeah, so it's pointless. You may as well just use card.
Yeah, that is dumb.
So that bit was a bit bizarre. But on a whole, I really rated it. The track is amazing. Like, when you're walking around, so you can just walk the whole way around of it.
Can you walk actually on the track?
No, at the end you did. So at the end of the race, we went on the track, went down to Eau Rouge and all of that stuff. But when you're walking around a track, it's so scenic. It's just obviously in the forest. It was great. I'd truly recommend, if you want to go to any F1 track, obviously I haven't been to the others, I would go to Belgium. Like, it is brilliant.
Well, you've been to Silverstone.
Well, I've been to Silverstone. But, you know, our campsite was like literally 15 minutes away.
Yeah, that's
like these
good.
Pods. Did I show you the picture of the pods we stayed in?
I just assumed you were staying in a tent.
No, yeah, it was a tent, but it was a massive tent. So there's
Did you have to bring the tent?
No. So
how much did that cost?
I don't know, actually. My dad paid for that. So Global Tickets. So they're the tents.
That looks all right, yeah.
Yeah.
Do they have beds in?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Decent.
Yeah. I mean, it's a thing called Global Tickets, which basically, there's a little plug for them, you know. They provide the whole, you obviously pay for it, but you've got tents, you've got good facilities, it's close to the circuit, it's walking distance.
Mm-hmm.
They do, I believe they do all European races. But if you can buy them as a package as well. We didn't, but you can buy that and a race ticket.
Yeah, also. Yeah, yeah. Got you.
But no, it's good. On a whole, I'd really recommend Belgium. Like, one is when we drove, obviously, we went over to Calais, drove down to Belgium. It was a really nice drive. Yeah. Like, really recommend doing it. It was decent. I like it. A lot of people said, oh, would you go back there as another race? I would do it again.
I want to go to Monza next year.
Monza, I want to go to.
Lewis in red?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Have you seen the Ferrari's new merch? New
black and yellow.
It's the first Ferrari top, and I'm thinking I would wear that. Like, it looks decent.
Are they going to make the car black and yellow?
I hope so. It would look sick.
That would look sick. I just can't see it happening at Monza.
Really? It's probably the time to do it, isn't it?
Yeah, well, they'll do something like they did last time. They had the yellow merch, didn't they? But then the car just had that tiny little bit of. That's what they'll do. There are also, as we know, I love upgrade rumours.
Oh, God.
No, don't worry. It's about Ferrari. So Ferrari are allegedly bringing a large upgrade package to Monza. Everything that's floating around online, and I know you don't have to mock me. I know it's just... Freaking gabagoo. What was that? Sums up what people think of you, probably, but I know it's just internet talk, right? But look, we're coming here to speculate.
Yep.
You never know what people know. Someone might say something that is true. The rumours are, essentially, is that the Ferrari package is massive and it's actually going to enable them to compete with McLaren.
Okay.
Fernando Alonso, I don't know if you heard him, after Zandvoort, he said, in the next few races, Ferrari will be the car to beat. However, we know what his assessments are like. Mr. This is the last time you won't see me on the podium. And we never saw him since. but, you know, take it with a pinch of salt. Ferrari are a team that have massively gone backwards. To be honest, they have gone backwards. Since this new era of cars, they started 2022 as, I'd say for a little bit, probably the better car. I'd say they pipped Red Bull, but
yeah.
I'd say Max made up that difference. And you had two cars that were very, very close, very competitive. They took huge, they took steps backwards, or just not enough steps forward that season. They then went even further back last season, and they started this season really strong again. They were looking like the team that were going to challenge Red Bull at some point. They were looking like the team that were going to be able to do that. And now, you know, they're slower than Mercedes, who started the season really badly. And with a completely brand new car. So it's important, I think, for these upgrades to actually make a difference. Because at what point does Charles Leclerc start losing faith? At what point do we start questioning the ability of Fred Vasseur and, you know, everything that we've sort of said we think he's going to be able to do? And then obviously next season you've got Lewis Hamilton going there. What does that... If Ferrari... All right, and this is called a season-defining upgrade package.
Yeah.
If, oh, my God. Did you see that crash? If they can't get that correct, they're in big trouble. And I am going to be really dreading the next year for Lewis Hamilton when it looks like Mercedes are there or thereabouts.
See, I'm really not concerned. And I tell you for why. That's Roman Grosjean going on the grass. I'm not concerned because there's all this speculation, obviously, before the summer break, Mercedes turned it around. They got the wins. I think they won, what, 3 out of 4 races.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, oh, Lewis Hamilton's made a massive mistake. This weekend in Zandvoort, that Ferrari should never have been on the podium.
No, I think Charles Leclerc drove a good race.
I don't think Ferrari is as bad as what people think they are. If they have got upgrades come in, great. And if they, hopefully they work and we make it. As I still stand by the decision. Lewis Hamilton would not have moved if he did not think it was going in the right direction. I'm still confident, and that may be quite delusional. But I've still seen enough in Ferrari, and I saw enough still in Spa, you know, up until one point, Charles Leclerc was P2. Okay, he got pole. He ended up, what, finishing P4, granted. But that Ferrari wasn't as bad in these areas which people were expecting them to be.
No, I think it's just that they have brought a series of upgrades over the season. And they haven't done anything. No. I think it's not... Ferrari are more than capable of building a great car.
Yeah.
Right, because for the last 3 years, as the season's kicked off, they've been the second fastest car or the fastest car.
Yeah.
It's their inability to seemingly be able to upgrade a car forwards. You know, they bring upgrades and sometimes the car goes backwards. You know, was it Silverstone where they brought the upgrades and they brought the porpoising back or the bouncing back? It wasn't porpoising. So I think that's my only concern. So this weekend will be telling, because whether it is, you know, an upgrade that's capable of making them fast as McLaren or whatever is irrelevant. They're bringing up an upgrade package, and all we really need to see from this is visible progression. You know, if it puts them on par with Red Bull or puts them in the mixer with all of them, then yeah, that's progression. They don't have to be the fastest car. They don't have to be matching McLaren. The McLaren seems to be a little bit clear at the moment.
Yeah.
But that's what I want to see, and that's going to ease my mind for next season.
But I think at the moment it's swings and roundabouts. I mean, was anyone expecting Mercedes to be so poor in Zandvoort after how they were before the summer break? I don't think anyone were.
No.
Finishing P7, P8 compared to the Ferraris being ahead of them.
There were some poor strategy choices.
Granted.
They didn't need Pit George.
No.
I don't think he would have lost track position to Perez.
But then when you look at some of the Ferrari results, leading up to the summer break, some of those were poor strategy calls. Look at Canada, for example.
Yeah, yeah, no.
You know, so you need, it's
Ferrari, it's both, but Ferrari are rife with poor strategy calls.
They are. I don't think it's all doom and gloom for Ferrari. And with obviously, when in Belgium, Lewis Hamilton winning, everyone was like, oh, you know, it's going to be a massive mistake, him leaving Mercedes on the way up now. I still don't think it's all doom and gloom for that move for Lewis. I think it's still a... I still think it's a good move. I still stand by that. And I'm excited to see it. But let us know what your thoughts are on that. Should we talk about poor little Logan Sargeant?
Yeah, if you're unaware, which you won't be at this point, Logan Sargeant obviously lost his seat after this weekend. Another disastrous weekend for him, let's be honest. He absolutely battered the car.
Do you know how much they're saying the cost of that was?
I mean, it's in seven figures.
1.4 million, yeah. That's what they're saying, is the cost of that.
And, you know, a team like Williams cannot afford that. It's just not feasible. And unfortunately, he's done this too often. Mm. And then he doesn't perform in the races. What happened in FP3 was just pure driver error.
Yeah.
Pure driver error. So at the end of the day, it's never nice. And he must be feeling pretty rough right now. But
this is a guy who has no confidence. He hasn't had confidence for 2 years. But
he kind of, did he ever come in with confidence?
No, but we were pretty brutal at the beginning, didn't we? When we said about him coming from F2, we did not think he was ready for the step up.
No, and all he did was show that. And don't get me wrong, I know it's an extremely, like, the step up from F2 to
I'm not F1 saying we is, could do it.
No. But I think my point is it was the right call. And you need someone like James Vowles who's going to make those difficult decisions. Even if it is one race after the summer break, yeah, they could have got rid of him before. But I think that was probably just the nail in the coffin. He probably had one strike left. And that what happened in that practice session is inexcusable.
Answer me this. Obviously, after the summer break, I am assuming James Vowles was committed to Logan Sargeant for the remainder of the season. Because if you're going to change anything, the summer break is when you change it, because then you bring a driver in. However,
I think they wanted to be committed to him.
No, I agree. I think they wanted to be, but after that FP3, they were kind of like, okay, we have no choice.
Well, yeah, because how many more times is that going to happen?
Completely agree. But if you're James Vowles, you sure you probably should have made that decision right after, before the summer break, to get that time for that person, whoever's coming in, to gel. Obviously, in this case, it's Colapinto.
Yeah, but you can't actually do anything in the summer break.
Well, you can, because you get 2 weeks when it's closed. But what I mean is,
but you have to take that period where there's like nothing.
Yeah, but if you're starting to say, okay, right, Belgium's done. Sorry, Sergeant, you're going. Colapinto, you're going to be coming in. Prepare yourself.
Yeah, perhaps. You know, they needed to be a little bit more decisive earlier on.
But I don't think they were planning to get rid of him.
No, I don't think they were.
I think what's happened is this has cost Williams so much, and obviously all his other costs.
Yeah, it's the accumulation. They got to a point
after with all the sponsors, and they've gone, look, we can't keep doing this.
Yeah.
And James Vowles had to do it. But my question to you is, do you think James Vowles has basically set up Logan Sargeant to fail? And what I mean by that is, His race interviews, James Vowles' interviews, pretty much probably for the last 3-4 months have been about, oh yeah, well, no, we're interested in this person, we're looking to build and we're looking to get, you know, experience. Under no circumstance.
But I think it was obvious that Logan wasn't going to have the seat next season. I feel like that would have been, that message would have been conveyed to him.
Yeah, but if you're doing that in public, you're just going to knock your confidence, surely.
Yeah, but that's like, Carlos Sainz has lost his seat to Lewis Hamilton. Carlos Sainz is an unbelievable driver. You know, it wasn't James Vowles and his flirtatious behaviour with other drivers that knocked Logan's confidence. It was Logan's lack of ability.
No, I agree.
His inability to be able to compete. It was the fact that he was putting the car in the wall way too many times. He was consistently heavily outqualified by his teammate in the same car. And, you know, it just, people might go back to the Australia incident where he had his car taken off him and given him to Alex Albon.
That was a nail in the coffin for me.
Yeah, and you can say, well, that must have destroyed his confidence. Yeah, it would have. But for the good of the team, you can understand it, right? My point is surely Logan Sargeant wasn't there. Like, that's not fair. I can carry this car to points. You wouldn't. If after you've had a year, he was poor last year.
Yeah.
Right, he was absolutely poor last
year. He's never been good.
He's never been good. And he then came into the season and pretty early on, had his car taken off him. But I feel like, for the best part, this was his last season at Williams, regardless.
So, my next question is...
And I mean, before the Carlos Sainz announcement and everything. Yeah. I mean, like, from the start of the season, it was his last season.
Yeah.
That was a decision that had already been made.
I just think as a manager, your
team principal.
Team principal, okay.
It's not football.
All right, as a team principal, regardless of whether you know someone is going to go or not, you still want to back them in the eye of, you know, in the community, because you still want to show them actually, yeah, we back him, yeah, we do, you know, we're... But I don't think James Bowers has done that, because even looking back at Monaco, for example, we're looking at our options, who we want to go. We want to get the, you know, driver. We may have been speaking to Carlos. You're like, well, actually, there's no such. But I also get what you're saying from your point of view. Yeah, I just think for someone who has no confidence, you're not helping them by literally going, oh, yeah, there is this other driver who drives for us, but he's not relevant.
No, I know, but his focus has got to be the team. And I get your point. I don't think... Like I'm saying, he definitely would have been communicated that message that he's not driving this season. And in the same way that Fred Vasseur's out there talking about, well, how can you pass up on the opportunities for Sir Lewis Hamilton?
Did you see the Carlos Sainz interview this weekend?
No.
With a really good interview. So they spoke to him about, obviously, why he chose Williams. And he's like, you know, I'm excited for the project. He doesn't see much difference between Alpine stake and Williams on where they're going and what they're, but when you look at Williams, they seem to be going in the right direction. Okay. The sponsors there are also sponsors of Sainz. So it's a link as well for that. But he got asked about the Ferrari and, you know, the announcement of him going. And I thought he came across really well in it, in the sense of, you know, it was a shock. I haven't done anything wrong to lose my seats. But I understand that you, when a 7-time world champion like Lewis comes knocking, you see. And he was really gracious in it. And I, you know my views on him. I really like him. I think he's great. I think he's, you know, he's brilliant for the sport. But I was really impressed with how, you know, he's like, you know, it's been a dream to drive for Ferrari. We were doing good. We haven't done. I don't think I've driven badly. I don't think I've done anything wrong. No. And I think if it wasn't for Lewis Hamilton, I'd still be in there next year. He said, it's just the nature of how it is.
And it is two very different circumstances. Carlos Sainz lost his seat on the basis that Lewis came to the table.
Yeah.
That is, it's not an opportunity they're going to pass up on. Firstly, from a marketing perspective, like the money that move is going to bring in. Secondly, he's a 7-time world champion. You know, Carlos Sainz has got a long way to go to be compared to the likes of Lewis Hamilton, and will likely never be compared to the likes of Lewis Hamilton. That's not to discredit him at all. But he's a driver that can leave there being like, yeah, well, fair play, I get that. Mm. Like, you would completely understand it. So... And he was someone that was in demand. Like, loads of other teams wanted him.
And, he said, you know, it was a shock. I was disappointed. But he said, on reflection, you know, I understood, you know, and I wanted to get all my, you know, I wanted to get my future sorted before the summer break. And that was important for me. He said, I wanted to come back. I know what I'm doing. I can just crack on with racing.
Yeah.
He said, I'm thankful for Ferrari. You know, getting race wins and driving for Ferrari has been a dream. he just came across really well in it, and I really like that. Going back to Williams with regards to their replacement, one thing I'm a bit perplexed with is you're getting rid of Logan Sargeant, but you're bringing in another F2 driver in Colapinto, who hasn't driven an F1. Okay, he's done some practice sessions, granted. Yep. I don't quite understand it. You have options of potentially getting someone like, you know, Mick Schumacher back or Lawson who can come back.
So I saw this about Mick Schumacher.
I mean, I'm using it. I don't think he's the greatest to come back.
It speaks volumes about what people actually think is about his ability. Hmm. Because Mercedes didn't put him in that vacant seat.
Yeah.
Haas didn't want him. Alpine didn't want him. No one wants him.
No.
You know, Williams don't want him. So I think it does speak volumes about the ability that people think he has. And Colapinto, sixth in the standings. I agree. I think there could be better options out there. But it is only until the end of the season.
It is. And it's great experience for Colapinto. You know, it's a credit to him. He's obviously, they've seen something in him.
You know, well, I don't think his name was Connor Pinto, by the way. Like, Connor Pinto.
No, it's not, is it?
No, that's what I used to think it was.
Yeah.
No, his surname is Colapinto.
Yeah. I was going to say, I was like, one thing that did make sense, which I thought may have happened, is obviously the Mercedes link. I thought that...
Or Antonelli.
I thought they would have potentially gone down the route of Antonelli coming in.
Yeah, that's
giving him a few races to get behind him, because the likelihood he's going to go to Mercedes for 2025.
It's apparently
meant to be announced this weekend.
Yeah, that one is all but confirmed. I mean, I heard it was meant to be announced last weekend and it never did get announced.
Well,
but
Wolf announced it by accident, didn't he?
Did he?
There was something in an interview which I read. I don't know if that's true, but he read. But apparently it's going to be announced this weekend. But
Do you know what I also read, actually, about that situation? I read that there's an agreement between Williams and Mercedes that if Antonelli doesn't perform in his first year, they can swap him for Sainz.
Really?
I don't know how true that is. It sounds like bullshit, but I did read it.
But wouldn't it have made more sense to give Antonelli the rest of the season to get up to scratch in an F1 car?
Yeah, but you've got to remember, Mercedes are just... They're just the works...
No, but
I don't think they'll have full say over who goes to Williams. Like, Williams are an independent team.
No, I get that.
For them, why would they want to give Mercedes the advantage of essentially training their driver up?
Well, yeah.
They're still rivals.
No, I get it. It's just a bit bizarre that Colapinto, where does he fit into this? Because he'll do it the rest of the season, but he's not going to get a seat anywhere else, is he?
I mean, is there any seats available? I think it's the stake seat.
Stake seat's still available. Obviously, the Alpine seat's gone to Doohan.
Yeah.
Doohan. So I'm just a bit confused where he sits in
this.
Well,
the thing is maybe are you thinking about it too much? Is it more of a case of Williams needed someone? Who could they get? Because realistically, he's probably gonna do better than Sargeant. It would be hard
but
to do.
But is he?
Well, it's hard to do worse. He is a Williams Academy driver.
Yeah.
So it might be a case of, well, who else have we got to call on? It's as simple as that. I think it's not necessarily something that they could think so methodically about It was clearly a decision that was taken spontaneously.
But my worry is for that. If you're a sponsor and you're James Vowles, you're putting another driver who's in F2 in there, the likelihood of him crashing and destroying his car, I would say, is pretty high.
Well, yeah. No, I don't dispute that, but who are they going to get? What are they going to do?
Sebastian Vettel.
Yeah, well, come back for
Seb, we need you.
Like, it's just not going to happen, is it? And it's
No, I agree. But I thought they might have gone down the route of someone like Mick, who's been in F1. He knows.
He crashed a huge amount of times.
Yeah, true.
That's why he lost his seat at Haas.
Yeah, true. All right. Fair point. Kimi Raikkonen, get back.
Yeah, I bet he's...
Damon Hill.
At least it'll get him off the screen.
Paul de Resta.
Oh, my God. Thank God Sky don't have him on anymore.
It's great. So, yeah, let us know with that. Obviously, yeah, other news over the time. Jack Doohan going to Alpine.
Yeah.
Driving alongside Pierre Gasly.
Sergio Perez managed to keep his seat.
How on earth somehow has he kept his seat? I do not know.
You know, I actually heard that's why Lawson didn't go to Williams, because Red Bull didn't want to let him go in case they need to make replacements mid-season.
What's going to happen with this? Because I'm a bit worried, because are we really going to go into another season without Liam Lawson in it?
No, I think he'll be... I swear Helmut Marko's already said he'll have a seat next season.
Yeah, but where?
Yeah, no one knows.
Is that Danny Ric going?
Or Perez?
I don't know.
It's a confusing one at Red Bull. I don't understand, because they're the most ruthless team in the sport. In any other dimension, Red Bull have got rid of him.
Well, yeah. I still don't understand how he's here.
No. I've seen some interesting speculation about... Obviously, there's the regulation change over the summer about the asymmetrical braking, which essentially means, to my understanding, is changing brake bias from left to right.
Yeah.
Right? Everyone knows you can change it from front to back, but you're not allowed to change it from right to left. There is speculation that maybe Red Bull had something on their car that was considered illegal, and they've been told to take it off, and now people are saying that essentially Perez is doing an Alonso to Ron Dennis in 2007, saying, if you don't get behind me, I'll snitch on you boys. So maybe that's why he's there. Maybe he's got dirt on the team.
There's some dirt.
We've all suspected some illegal behaviour from Red Bull over the last 3 years.
Did you see, talk about Red Bull, Max Verstappen post-race interview? Where he was asked the question, he was like, obviously you had a meeting with Mercedes during the summer. And he was like, did I? Like, really cryptic. And did you see, like, Piastri and Lando just pissing themselves laughing?
No.
Because he was like, yeah, so obviously you heard that your representatives, were you part of that meeting? I don't remember. Like, you know, it's this cryptic Max Verstappen. Yeah. So, Joel, so he's come out today and said he's keeping his hopes high of retaining a seat on the F1 grid for 2025 as he looks to be signed up for the Audi F1 project. This guy, honestly,
that is
he's not getting back in the sport.
I want to live in his world.
surely he's not getting in the sport again.
No, it won't happen. If it does, that is mental. I mean, he's given it a good go. He's been far from a Logan Sargeant or a Nicholas Latifi, in my opinion.
I mean, this season he is. I mean, but saying that, Bottas still hasn't got any points. But, so
yeah, I think the car is really bad this season.
Yep.
He's not someone that crashes out, causes stupid incidents.
Nope.
He's a solid driver. It's just he's not done anything to prove that he deserves to be in the sport.
No.
I think his time is probably done. Unless he's got some... I mean, which I'm sure he does have a mental sponsor that brings in loads of cash, but yeah, his days are numbered, I think.
I agree. Should we quickly touch on Sanford? I don't think there's loads that we need to touch on, really. Really strong by McLaren's this weekend.
Yep.
In qualifying and race, their race pace was just ridiculous. Obviously, beating Max Verstappen by 20 seconds.
Yeah, but Lando was a long way ahead of Piastri.
He was. Piastri struggled for some reason. Mm-hmm. He was asked afterwards. He said being in a dirty air really made him struggle. We hear this a lot.
Clean air is king. That seems to be the saying at the moment.
It does, yeah. But it's interestingly, the Dirty Air hasn't been as prominent, I don't think, as it has done probably the last year or so. We hear it a lot more now that actually,
yeah, well,
as soon as you get stuck in by the Dirty Air, even if you've got quite a fast car, you do struggle.
Yeah, the new regs came in, obviously, to get rid of that. Mm-hmm. And I do think we achieved that earlier on. But yeah, teams are finding a way. The thing is, it would be in the team's best interest to create a car that creates dirty air because it makes it harder for the car behind to overtake. Yeah, I think we are seeing that now. You're getting a fair bunch of DRS trains. You're seeing cars like the McLaren unable to progress forward easily. You know, even Lewis had a bit of a tough time behind some of those slower cars. I don't think it took him an unreasonable amount of time, but he didn't just breeze past everyone. Mm.
It was the best he could probably do, P8, starting where he did with the grid penalty.
By the way, that penalty was
Sergio Perez.
It was disgusting. There's no other way to describe that penalty other than disgusting.
However, if you listen to Martin Brundle, it's like, oh, you know, it's probably the... I can see why they've given it. No, you can't. How?
How?
How can you... I mean, it's
the, what the
it's
car one. Exists, right? It physically exists. If they are on the track... in the same part of the track at the same time,
yeah,
there is only so many places it can be, right? It was really bad timing,
yeah.
But that is no one's fault. This happens. Lewis wasn't parked on the racing line. He wasn't parked on the apex. Okay, Perez wanted to move out to exit the corner. Mm. Okay, so you either hit Lewis on entry because he's sitting on the racing line, or you have what happened.
And he had enough room to continue his fastest lap going into that corner. Lewis Hamilton was moved over as much as he could.
And I'm not being funny, Perez. Like he's listening. You were never going to... Firstly, it was Q1. Didn't affect him anyway.
Yeah.
You're a bum. And thirdly, he only finished two places behind you and he started like seven behind you.
Yeah.
So, you called him an idiot.
Yeah.
An idiot. Come on. There's only one idiot in that conversation and it's the one using the word. So I was so wound up by that. Not because Lewis got a penalty, but because it genuinely did not deserve a penalty.
Oh, 100%, no.
I'm always the first to say, yeah, Lewis fucked up there. Lewis fucked up qualifying. He had a really bad qualifying. Yeah. Again, it's a recurring issue. He didn't deserve that grid penalty.
Talking of again... I tell you what does happen very, very frequently. Lando Norris's race starts.
Oh my God, yeah. He's cursed.
They're woeful. They're so bad.
Should we also talk about how Lewis only finished a couple of seconds behind George?
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. He had a very good race.
He did have a great race.
For where he started, he was consistent. He did his overtakes, quite a solid strategy. Good pit stops. He just did what he needed to. Yeah. He wasn't going to really get any better than that, I don't think.
Yeah, I think the winners from this weekend, Lando Norris.
Yeah.
Because I think winning that race with such a margin, despite losing the position on the first lap again, will give him a lot of confidence going forward. And I think for him, the title race is on.
I think the constructors is on. Title race, I don't think so.
I think the title could be on because you're forgetting Red Bull. Max got lucky at Silverstone.
Yeah.
When he finished second. He's not been consistently in those P2s. I say he got lucky. It was an unbelievable strategy, yeah, which is from the team, but... The car should not have finished second, is what I'm saying, based on just... If everything happened as standard, he wouldn't have got that P2. He got P2 at Zandvoort, granted, but there's going to be tracks where he's not getting those P2s, and at the moment it looks like...
Singapore.
Exactly. Mm. Even Monza. You know, I think... I I would not have my money on Max to get P2.
Do you know why I'm pretty confident Lando won't win it?
Well, because of Lando.
I think if, and this is, I know people think I have an agenda against Lando.
Which you do.
I know, I don't. I personally feel when the pressure will get too much. The thing is, in these type of races, it's okay because Lando's got nothing to lose, okay?
He knows that the title challenge is on, but he has to win.
Yes. Give that a few more races. Say, for example, Lando Norris is 30 points behind, okay?
Yeah.
Once that pressure starts kicking in, I do not think... Give it a year or so, next year, potentially, yes, dealing with this. I do not think he will be able to deal with him.
Yeah, but here's my point. I think the fact that Lando still lost the position on the first lap, but was able to keep his cool, gain that position back on track,
yep.
Wasn't an undercut or overcut or anything, yep. And then win by that margin, I think a win like that is going to fuel him. And yep. I think that's actually going to... He's then going to say to himself, actually, I can do this. Like, I bet he's got in his head so many times about the starts and then where he's not gone on to win. Whereas this time he's been like, it doesn't matter. If I don't start properly, I know I can get it back.
I still think there's Max Verstappen has enough to pick up those.
I think it's really difficult. I saw someone say, oh, if Max wins this championship, he's the GOAT. I mean, well, Max at this point should still
win
the championship. But my point is I do believe it's on for Lando.
So he's roughly, I think, 70 points or something behind, isn't he?
Yeah.
In theory, Max Verstappen has three races in hand.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's assuming that, like, he gets, like, no points. No,
but that's what I mean. He has three races in hand. How many races do we have left?
I mean, Max has a DNF between here and the end of the season, he's in big trouble. Yeah, I'll say that for sure.
Yeah. I'm pretty confident Max will still pick up those P2s, P3s to be...
I'm not sure. If Lando is winning, I'm not sure P3 is enough. How many races are there left? Because it's a long season, you've got to remember. This is the longest season we've ever had.
9 races left.
There's 9 races, and what's the points difference?
Let me have a look.
Can you tell we do our research before
we
record?
So Max Verstappen is on 295, Lando Norris is on 225.
Okay, so there is exactly 70, yeah. Right? And there's 9 races, you say?
Yep.
So if Lando wins every race...
Which is unlikely.
And gets fastest lap every race. Then correct me if I'm wrong, but Lando would win by 2 points. There's sprints thrown in here.
Yeah.
Here's my point. I don't believe Max is going to finish on the podium every race this season. At this point, I would say I think Lando Norris is going to finish on the podium every race this season.
So Monza is be a tough one. I'd expect a McLaren win.
I expect a McLaren win.
Baku.
Or a Mercedes win.
This weekend...
They won at Spa,
This weekend, this is a Ferrari track as well.
It depends on these upgrades. Who knows?
Baku. Historically, Red Bull have done well there. Mercedes have done well there.
Yeah.
Singapore, historically, Red Bull have done bad.
Yeah. Singapore, I think, will see a Lando Norris win.
But again, it's unpredictable because you see in Ferrari last year.
I know. But the McLaren's a different car this year. The McLaren was not the beast it is this season, last season.
I agree. I won't go through every single one, but I don't know. I agree with you.
If Max gets a P7 again, or whatever it was at Singapore,
yeah.
And Lando wins, that's a huge chunk of points that he's taken out. And what my point is that I don't see a race for the rest of the season where Lando in the McLaren is weak. And we're like, ooh, maybe he's not going to do so well this weekend. Whereas we look at tracks and we think, actually, the Red Bull could not be so good here. And we know that actually, before the summer break, the Mercedes was looking faster than the Red Bull.
Yeah.
If that's the case, then Max is toast.
But then when that comes back down to it, doesn't it? We may have that pendulum swing where actually Mercedes come back into it, where Lando may only finish P3, P4.
But the McLaren has been quicker than the Mercedes at every race this season.
Yeah. But you also mentioned about Ferrari. If Ferrari's upgrades are going to be that key, well, hang on, they could be up the most.
Yeah, for sure. But like I said, I'll believe it when I see it.
I agree. One thing which I do think will happen is I do think McLaren will win the Constructors.
Hands down.
And this is where Red Bull have royally fucked up, because they should have got rid of Perez ages ago and brought someone else in.
They dropped the ball on this.
This is a massive screw up from them.
Yeah.
McLaren, for me, done deal winners for the Constructors. They will be. I think they're like 34 points or something behind. The drivers, yet to be seen. I still think Max will do enough to get the
I genuinely think at this point, Red Bull could be in trouble from Mercedes in the Constructors.
No.
How?
Because what's their points?
So, okay, maybe I meant Ferrari.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I thought it was Mercedes that were on 370.
Do you know what? When you said it, I was like, I swear, when I looked the other day, Mercedes were like 200 and something.
Yeah, I mean, mind you, they're only but it's like 160 points.
Yeah, I mean, behind. if they keep picking up those P7s.
Yeah,
and
I thought they were the ones on 370. So, you know, like we talk about the Ferrari upgrades. Yeah, it could. If you've only got one man picking up points, and at this point in time, he's not picking up the race wins.
Yeah.
You'll get found out when you've got two men picking up points.
Yeah. What do you think of Max Verstappen this weekend? Obviously, he was very unhappy with the car. A lot of understeer.
I mean, the car did look like a
handful.
Yeah.
It did. Yeah.
For probably the first time in this new generation of cars where it's actually looked like a really difficult car to drive.
Yeah.
I think he did well to keep P2, honestly. I don't think Max can really complain about getting P2. The McLaren was so much better, so much quicker.
I saw a tweet about saying, it went along the lines of, you know, oh, I wish people would shut up now, because as we've seen in this weekend, Max Verstappen needs the best car to win races. Obviously, you know, that was a whole thing of Lewis Hamilton. Lewis Hamilton only wins championships because he has the best car. Obviously, now we're seeing a pendulum swing with McLaren now taking over and Max not actually winning. I still think Max did a good job to get P2.
Yeah, Max did a great job.
And I still think he's showing his quality. And, you know, for me, we've discussed over the years, I'm not a massive Max fan, but credit where credit is due. Still to pick up those P2s like he did in Silverstone, like he did this weekend, is still impressive, especially if that car is a handful to drive.
P2 is the best he can do.
Yeah.
At this point in time, because the car is superior. That McLaren is superior. And there is only so much you can do.
Yeah.
I just don't think he's going to be able to keep up those P2s, because I think something has changed with that Red Bull.
Yeah.
We said that a while back. And I think that is evident, because the car was a handful this weekend and we have not seen anything like that before.
No, I agree. Should we quickly talk about Monza?
Yep, Monza is obviously coming up this weekend. We're about to relay you the times to make sure you're free for.
Friday, FP1, 1:30 till 2:30. FP2, 5 till 6 on Friday. FP3 on Saturday, 12:30 till 1:30. Qualifying, 4 till 5.
Nice.
Bit of a later one. And the race is at 3 o'clock.
I said 3, not 2.
I know. Do you know what? I've had a stinker. I've actually completely lied to you. Sorry, everyone. Qualifying is 3 till 4. Everything I've just said to you, go back an hour.
Oh, you muppet.
Yeah, race is 2 o'clock.
Good.
Sorry.
I did think it was 2 because I'm up in London.
DRS zones.
Yeah, now you're quizzing me.
Yeah. You know how this works?
I do. There's 3.
There's 2.
What?
You got the DRS detection zone between 7 and 8. You know, once it goes under the bridge. And then you got the main straight.
I must be going mental. I really thought there was one up the back straight, as in like before Parabolica.
No.
Wow.
Nope. First Grand Prix held.
Oh, God, it would have been like 54 or something.
1950.
Oh, close.
Number of laps.
Oh, it's in the 50s. It's 55.
53.
Oh, shit.
A lap record. And I can tell you the lap record was held, has been in place since 2004.
I mean, is it, maybe it's something weird like Barrichello?
Fuck off. How is it? No way. Do you remember this from last year or something?
No.
There's no way you did not know this, but you didn't like...
It's Barrichello, isn't it?
Fuck it. Yes, it is.
Fucking called it. I knew it would be one of the Ferraris.
Yeah. Lap record. What is it? It's in the 1 minute.
Obviously. Christ, I'm trying to think how quick you go around Monza one night. 1:19.5.
1:21 flat.
So, I was close.
You were. Predictions for this weekend, top 3.
Lando Norris, Oscar Piastri, and Lewis Hamilton. I think Spa showed us that the Mercedes is actually quite good.
Unless Mercedes try and screw you over by just doing a one stop.
But I think the problem is there's so much opportunity to overtake at Monza that both McLarens, even if Piastri doesn't qualify as well as Lando, and he starts in P4, or even if Lando starts P5, they'll both make their way through because there's so much opportunity to overtake. And they have got the quickest car, and I think we'll see that this weekend. Realistically, it is whoever has the quickest car this weekend will win.
Yeah.
So I think we'll see. We'll know for
Michael
sure.
Owen. Well done.
No, but often, you know, if you pull off a Carlos Sainz at Singapore.
Yeah.
Right? He didn't have the quickest car.
No.
By any means. And he won the race. Monza is a track where car does come into it a lot.
I'm going to go for Lando Norris, P1.
Mm-hmm.
Piastri, P2.
Yeah.
Charles Leclerc, P3.
That's what I was toying with.
Obviously, the Ferraris last year were strong. Obviously, we saw that battle between Sainz
and... Why do you say his name twice every time?
I don't know. Because I want to say Sainz, and then someone said to me the other day, it's Sainz. I was like, I don't think it is.
It would be how he says it.
How
in,
do you
like,
say it?
Carlos Sainz.
Sainz, yeah, that's what I have to say. Anyway, Carlos Sainz, obviously, the battle last year was quite intense.
Yeah, no, it got really intense. Yeah, good. We thought they were... I mean, they almost did smash each other, really, didn't they?
So, I've just realised I won't be able to watch the race this weekend.
Why?
Because I'm at a wedding.
Oh, they'll have a TV. On a Sunday?
Yeah.
Who has a Sunday wedding?
My friends.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me, actually.
I don't know what you mean by that.
Well, your friends. Well, yeah, like it makes sense.
I mean, shut up. He, you know, he's the one who I went on that stag do with, and I went go-karting, finished P2. Should have seen me in the race. Solid.
Hmm.
I was decent. Mate, you can't say that. We know I'm faster than you at go-karting. We've already done this.
When?
We went up to Crawley and we went go-karting.
Years ago? When actually was that?
3 years ago.
Yeah, what, when I weighed about 88 kg?
Yeah, and now what, 96?
Now I weigh 78.
Mate, I would still beat you at go-karting.
Well, if you pay for me to go... Well,
I'm not going to pay for you to go, am I?
Like, well, why, how about loser pays?
Well, how would we know?
Well, you just got a refund.
Okay.
What? Well, you sound scared.
Not scared. I'm confident I would beat you.
Really?
Okay, we'll arrange it.
You're really good at like the F1 game and stuff, aren't you, on the wheel?
Mate, it's different.
Is it?
100% it's different. Nah. Okay, which one would you rather do? The Crawley, which is the petrol cart?
Petrol.
You don't want to do the electric carts?
No, I want to do proper carts.
Electric carts are faster. At Lancing, they're decent. You look a bit scared now.
No, I'm fine. It's just I like the noise. Smell of petrol and...
If you want to do the Crawley one, we can do the Crawley one.
I'll let you pick, because if I say Crawley and I beat you there, you're like, oh, it's because I wanted to do
it. No, I'm good at any of them.
You're not, though, are you?
But I am. I've beaten you there. I beat you there last time.
In one of them. I beat you still in the other
you.
One.
I still beat you when it came, the time-wise, overall, I beat you. Sorry, if you just joined in, you're having a bit of a domestic here.
Who the hell has just joined in at like 55 minutes in?
Well, you never know.
So. If you've just joined in, you've missed everything, so go back.
If you just joined in at 1 hour and 4 seconds, you're coming into a... Guys, if you're listening, let us know, who do you think would win out of me and Luke? I mean, if they're listening to this, they're all like your supporters anyway, and all your fans anyway, aren't they?
Yeah, because I've got loads of fans, so they're just coming out my ears.
Well, they're all like, you know, your waffling fans, aren't they? So they will support you, but I would win.
I just don't really see what gives you the confidence to think you would win.
Okay, so you know your confidence you have in the F1 game when you race me?
Yeah.
Okay, so before we actually started doing it...
That's backed up, because like I'm actually... good at the game.
Yeah, but I'm good at karting.
It's like, I'll be like, I'm going to win this race, and then I'll actually go and fucking win it.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. I am good at karting, and I
would go and win it. Well, because you came second the other week.
No, my timings before were good there, and I beat you last time.
In one of the sessions, you beat me. There was two sessions, and I beat you in the other one.
I still beat you. F1 Fantasy, talking about beating, I overtook you this weekend.
Yeah, I saw. I actually forgot to update. This is the
241 points I got. That is a whopping weekend for me.
I always forget to make changes. It's why I just haven't. I haven't done the.
Fancy. Whatever,
yeah, like the Prem one. I just couldn't be arsed. I do it for 1 week and then I'm like, I just completely forget about it.
I'm close to the top 10. P11.
Where am I then? P12.
Yep.
I still don't understand how this works. Like, I don't know how to find the league. Pinned leagues. I think I pinned it. Yeah. P12 is not bad. John Siller is still P1, P2, but he's got Nathan Moore right on his arse.
He's smashing it.
Verstappen's 5. It's getting... I mean, we're way off. We're not winning.
No, I can't see us winning at all. But I'm reasonably happy with... If I can get near the top 10, I'd be well chuffed. I'd actually take that. I'm trying to find... When we went go-karting, see if I got... Oh, here we go. I know, that's...
Well, you're getting the results up.
Well, you know, I'm just trying to find... But I can't see them.
You're one sad bastard, you know that?
Here we go. So we went racing on the 3rd of March 2022.
Yeah, so it was a long time ago.
So I was a 51 flat. You were a 51.4.
Yeah.
0.4 slower.
How much did you weigh then?
Probably the same as I weigh now.
I was about 88 kilos then.
Okay, even Caleb beat you.
He's about 4'3". He's a fucking hobbit. That doesn't count. I'm just saying, I would win now, and you go go-karting quite a lot. I don't, and I'll still.
Okay, well, you say last time I went was obviously the other week, but before that, it was about 10 months ago since I went. was actually a year ago since I went before.
The last time I went was obviously, I went in Pakistan. Other than that...
Which was what?
Yeah, but other than that, I think that was the last time I went.
Okay. Well, we can go and do it. Why don't we do it like a Christmas works do? We'll put it on the company credit card.
Well, we do have some money in YouTube AdSense, but I don't think we've earned enough to withdraw it yet.
Yeah, we have.
Have we?
Yeah, yeah. What you often get, you always get emails, but you never do anything about it.
Oh, no, I forget to read emails.
Yeah, you know, that whole, what is it?
Fanatics?
Nah, not the Fanatics. But I mean, I don't know how much we have in our YouTube thing. It's barely nothing,
maybe,
isn't it?
Maybe enough to pay for a session.
There we go. Sorted. That's our Christmas do. We're going to do that. Works. our works do. Race cars works do.
Not just the two of us, is it? That's a bit sad. Can't we see if someone else wants to come?
Who's worked with us this year? Dan? Well, no, Editor Dan, he was good.
Could invite the F1 boys. In the chat?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I don't want to see Corey.
Why? Because he'll beat you. He's got a car.
Yeah, he'll beat me. Why do I want to race him? I want to race someone like you who I can beat. But let us know who you think. I don't know why we've literally spoken about the last 5 minutes just about go-karting. But that is the end of the podcast. Hopefully you've enjoyed it. It's nice to be back. It's actually been a very long time since we've been doing this, but it is nice to be back. Hopefully we have a good race this weekend in Monza. Hopefully it's a Lewis Hamilton win. I'm actually quite delighted that I've actually witnessed a Lewis Hamilton win live in a Mercedes. I have. You can't take that away from me. He has won the race.
Kinda. I get your point.
But regardless, he deserved to win on that day anyway. So
yeah, he did.
Whether you give it to me or not, I've technically seen him lead a race and I've seen him win. But anyway, so yeah, we'll be back next week reviewing Monza, and hopefully we have a good race. Have a good week.
We have a good week.
It's been a long. I'm tired. And we shall see you next week for a brand new episode. Bye bye.